Welcome to another episode of The Cinema Guys. We love movies. In this episode, we're going to dust off that cowboy hat and mount up as we talk the remake of Magnificent Seven.
That was me spitting.
We'll also give you some thoughts on a few trailers we've seen, as well as a short list of our top westerns. To finish it all off, we'll give you some recommendations for a few things you can watch at home.
Yeehaw.
I'm Brad. With me are my fellow outlaws, Justin and Michael.
Justin,
Phyllis.
Justin, that's my like cowboy gear. I would be a crappy cowboy. I'm not tough. I'm Justin.
You would just be that homesteader who's out there that gets taken advantage
then,
of
like,
all the
Giovanni
time.
Ribisi, who's like running around all crazy. Can you help a sheriff, please? They've taken my mall.
Don't take my land.
There's punch in the face. Howdy, guys.
All I got's my land, sir. No, that's not really... That's bad. Okay.
So, I guess we'll kick things off with something we like to call Trailer Trash.
Trailer Trash.
Well, since we're on Westerns, I guess first up, we'll start with a movie called In a Valley of Violence, starring Ethan Hawke and John Travolta, directed by Ty West.
With this one, you have me at John Travolta. I love him. I love him. With the exception of Michael, I can't think of a movie that I hated with John Travolta. I love his on-screen character. I like his whole persona, always.
What about Look Who's Talking To?
It was still all right. I didn't hate the Look Who's Talking. Was he in the
Look Who's Talking Now?
What about...
He wasn't
sure.
That one, was it? No, he wasn't in Look Who's Talking Now.
He was the dad. You had to be in him.
Fact check this.
What about Battlefield Earth?
Ooh, okay. Man Ratch? That was his line. That was my best John.
He's definitely had some bad movies, but who hasn't?
I know, but I love him. I love him. Vincent Vega. Anyway, so when I saw him as a cowboy... Which, have we seen him as a cowboy before?
I don't believe so.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Except for Broken Arrow.
He's sort of like an arms dealer, is he?
He's a rogue military agent.
Or no, he's probably more of a cowboy in Swordfish. No, was he in Swordfish?
Yeah, he wasn't really a cowboy.
He was the bad guy, right?
He was the bad guy.
I don't think he's actually been an actual historical cowboy.
Right. And he was like, you know, I don't know. Guess he didn't rustle cows. So, anyways, I think this movie looks amazing. It looks like it's gritty, it's violent. I love the story. I love the classic Quigley Down Under story of the hero getting beat up and left for dead, and he comes back. And I mean, that's what I'm gathering from the trailer is he comes back and wins.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it looks good. I've really enjoyed Ty West's previous films. I thought In the House of the Devil was a great throwback to late 70s horror films. Innkeepers was good. The Sacrament was an interesting look at the Jonestown Massacre. And so I'm all in for this movie.
I think it looks entertaining. I love Ethan Hawke. I think he does some hit and miss kind of thing, but I think he looks the part in this as we...
Oh yeah.
Discussed previously, we're like, this could be a prequel to Magnificent Seven.
Well, what's weird
but
is
not really.
When we talk about Magnificent Seven, we may get to the fact that Ethan Hawke looks old in it, and I was thinking, is he old in a slot in real life like this, or is he just old? And but then when you see this trailer, he does not look as old.
Yeah, they definitely had some makeup on in Magnificent Seven. I'm looking forward to this, and I want to see it.
I want to see it. So our next trailer is Fences, starring Denzel Washington, who also directed it, and Viola Davis. This is based off the Broadway play originally starring James Earl Jones, and then later the revival, which starred Denzel Washington and Viola Davis.
I have to take a deep breath because every time I see the trailer, I'm like, oh, I think it looks amazing. You weren't as impressed, right?
I think it looks good. It's how would you say it, the end of the year Oscar bait type movie?
It is true because it comes out 5 days before the deadline for Oscars. But I love Denzel. I love that sort of like over dramatized acting. I think he does a good job.
Melodrama.
Yeah, melodrama. I think he does a great job. I don't love Viola Davis, but she's a great actress. So I do. I think it looks good.
You have me at Denzel Washington.
And the trailer was really good too. Although it's all the trailers we're going to talk about, I feel like run the They're showing so much in the trailers these days, I feel like it's ridiculous. But I like that the whole entire trailer was, instead of a soundtrack, was his voiceover as he's given this great speech.
Yeah,
he's good at speeches.
I'll agree with you about trailers showing too much. I mean, I love trailers. I will always watch them. I can't force myself not to watch them. Like with Star Wars, every single trailer comes out, I'm like, I'm not going to watch it.
It's like watching a movie.
And those... Disney is good at not showing you too much, like with Star Wars.
That was like the last time the Star Wars movie, I was like, oh, well, they tricked us, and I liked it.
As we talk trailers that show too much, I feel like our next one really didn't. It's called The Passenger, starring Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. It's directed by Morten Tildum, who did Imitation Game.
And also our first... suggested by fan.
Suggested by a fan.
They said, hey, we love you guys. We'd love to hear what you think about this trailer.
As could anybody else. They could, hit us up on Twitter or email us.
Yeah, if you want us to watch a movie, review it, whatever, just let us know.
So what did you think of Passengers?
Well, I got a man crush on Chris Pratt, so... Mm.
I mean, who doesn't right now?
He went from, like, ultimate chub to ultimate stud.
Yeah. Just cut out beer and exercise a little bit. But he's so funny, and like he has such a great personality. And so him and Jennifer Lawrence, I feel like it looks like a fun, interesting sci-fi movie.
And I don't feel like they showed us too much in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean,
it teased you just enough to go, oh, these two are stuck in space alone.
There was that one scene where like she's like, don't go outside, I'm going outside, and he like something crazy happens, and
yeah, I mean there's a little bit towards the very end that you can see there's some sort of bigger conspiracy going on.
We didn't wake up on accident.
But I mean, overall, I felt it was a fairly good trailer about not showing too much of
the story. It piqued my interest enough.
As I was watching, I was like, okay, is this a romantic movie? Because there's that. Is this a sci-fi movie? There's like sun explosions and jumping. Is this a time-space movie? Because there's a little bit of that. Is this a action movie? It's a little bit... I guess they're appealing to everyone. So I don't know. I feel like it can't be all those things. So it's going to end up being one of them. And I feel like it might be boring.
I have a pretty good feeling that we'll end up being in the theater watching that movie.
Oh yeah. It's Chris Pratt.
Yeah. He rides a motorcycle with raptors.
And I am really into like cryogenic freezing for things, for traveling. I think it's... I think if we lived in the future, the fear of coming out of your cryogenic sleep too early is like a super legit fear.
Or space raptors.
But good thing Chris Pratt's there. He's like, little Blue. Hey, Blue. Yeah. Get it?
They'll have little helmets on.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not space herpes like ice pirates.
Ice Pirates? What's space herpes and ice pirates?
Have you ever seen the movie Ice Pirates?
No.
That is a classic B-movie.
Do they have space herpes? Wow. Space herpes serious?
Well, it's serious. Pretty sure. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but it's just like one of those weird, fun 80s movies.
Oh, yeah.
So, Passengers, it looks good. We'll definitely see it. I'm a little curious when they show... I feel like they didn't show much of the story, but they showed a lot of different elements. You know, there's some sort of romantic thing. There's some sort of, like, devious thing. There's some sort of action-y thing.
It'll be interesting to see how it compares to other, maybe similar movies. Like, did you see Sunshine?
I did see Sunshine.
Which is kind of that same, like,
or the other
mystery on
sci-fi movie coming out soon, The Arrival. Mm-hmm. Which looks good.
That I like because it looks like a super unique angle on the aliens visiting. This idea of our problem isn't attacking, our problem is communication. And I like the idea of breaking a communication code.
That one's going to get great reviews.
So that leads us to our final trailer today, which is one that I am super excited for. Underworld Blood Wars, starring Kate Beckinsale. I am in love with this series. I don't care how crappy they are. Like, this is the fifth movie they come out. I'm all in.
I would have said I'm in love with this series until I just recently found out, like 5 minutes ago, that I haven't seen all the movies. I loved the first one. When it came out, what year, do you know?
2003.
So I am, what, 2 years removed from college, I'm young. I am like, this movie is the bomb. The light bullets, the lichens versus werewolves. That used to be a big question. Would you rather be a lichen or a werewolf? If anyone chooses lichen, you're crazy.
Lichens are werewolves.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, a lichen or a vampire. If you choose lichen, it's crazy because you're gross and dirty and hairy and like live in the sewers, and vampires are rich and pretty. But then the second one, you know, you get the second one was
evolution, and he was the bad guy was kind of like a very creature-esque like vampire. It's one of the lead vampires, but.
And then the third one is Lucian's story, like background story, right?
That one was a prequel.
I did see that one.
That one didn't have Kate Beckinsale.
I have no idea what happened in four. What's four?
Underworld Awakening was set in the future. It was set many years after Evolution.
Basically, Kate Beckinsale dead?
They wiped all the lichen and everybody off, where they all live underground now, and they're kind of, the whole society is... hunted them, but then the lichens
are
rising back up.
People have hunted them down. Like regular people?
Yeah, like I think there was laws or something passed in it. Like it was
set the future. I want to see this.
There's like this super sort lichen in it that's like huge.
Okay. I need to see the fourth one, but I'll definitely see the fifth one.
I mean, I think they have great action. Lichens versus vampires. I think it's the style of it.
Underworld over Blade?
So Blade 2 is fantastic. Blade Trinity.
Blade
so 2
had the weird, like open up their faces.
Yeah, that was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, was it? I know.
The first one I did enjoy. Like, the first one was.
Because it was early so on, good. Too. It was like a. Back. Because Blade.
That was the first movie after the death of the superhero films with the Batman series.
Right.
The, so it was kind of the first serious one that they came out.
Blade. Unbreakable, Pitch Black, and one other movie were the first DVDs I ever owned. X-Men 1. Those were the first DVDs I ever owned. And so I love Blade. It was so cool and different.
Well, it was cool, and it had a great soundtrack at the time.
And it was different. Do you think Blade could beat Kate Beckinsale in a fight? She has too many weaknesses. He didn't have any, man.
He's a daywalker.
He has no weaknesses, man.
So that would be a tough Christopherson.
Whistler. if you can smoke a cigarette and pump gas really, really clumsily, then you're awesome.
So overall, it looks like we have some good movies coming out, especially that Underworld movie that I'm really excited for.
We'll see.
So Westerns have been a big part of American cinema for a long time, with such actors as Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, just to name some.
Clint who?
And I think it's a genre that's probably one of the staples of American cinema. Like, it's been around for quite a while. Like, I remember growing up watching whatever John Wayne movie was on TV with my
Son-in-law
dad.
With Pauly Shore.
Son-in-law. And as I got older, I didn't really discover the Clint Eastwood, The Man With No Name trilogy until I was a little bit older, and it was amazing. I think they're fantastic films. So with that... We give a top list of westerns that we enjoy.
Whereas we have been lately talking about horror films, which I feel like I don't have a big category or big library of what I've seen. I love westerns. I think this is my dad loved westerns. Always watched them with him, the old ones, spaghettis. And then I have just always been a sucker for any new western that comes out, anything I see. That has guys in a cowboy hat, even if it's like old and boring, like Open Range with Robert Duvall. Did you ever see that? Totally did not love it. But I love this category. So it's my favorite thing. It's one of my favorite categories to talk about because they're just fun and simple and exciting. Michael, let's hear your list first.
Okay. My favorite movie of all time.
Of all time, not just Western.
Not just
but all time.
All time is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
It's a movie I can put on at any point in time. Just put on the background. I love the soundtrack. I love the slow pace, the big open shots that Sergio Leone provides. I just feel it's a wonderful film. It's quotable.
And once you see it, it ruins a lot of Tarantino for you.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But I mean, it's just, it's such a good movie to watch, and I just love it so much. But that is... my number one pick for westerns, my number one pick overall for movies.
Wow, so that's your number one of all time.
Yep, it's a movie I can put on at any time and watch.
Dude, I love it. That's great. Mine's The Fifth Element.
Which I love as well. Second is going to be The Unforgiven. So I know two Clint Eastwood movies, but I love the idea of, you know, this old, grizzled, bad person who's trying to reform themselves and gets sucked back in and realizes as much as he wants to change, he's not able to. Mm-hmm. And you also have Gene Hackman in it, who gives a wonderful performance. For good or for bad, probably, you know, it didn't launch, but it definitely made Clint Eastwood a directorial name.
Oh,
we have. Well,
and
coming out with movies every single year.
Won some Oscars.
That opening scene where William Money is a horrible farmer, a horrible dad, a horrible homesman, a horrible farmer, or like all these things that I feel like the old Western hero was like great at all these things. Mm-hmm. He kind of sucks at it, which kind of just I like that role reversal right in the beginning of the film.
Well, it's a great philosophical debate of can you deny who you really are,
right?
And so obviously he's trying to do that at the onset of the film. Realizes, you know, through this circumstance that, you know, he's got to become who he is. And even if Gene Hackman is doing the same exact thing, which he was a horrible person trying to now live this law-abiding lifestyle, but still talking about the old days as if they're some great memory, and just everything comes around. And
the duck.
And karma catches up with you, and it's... I like Westerns a lot. They're just a great... You know, it's embedded into the American dream. You know, you look at where we started, which was, you know, America was founded on this idea of freedom, you know, whether it's religious freedom, whether it's escape from persecution. The Western is just a continuation. And obviously, there's some other things we can get into with, like, Manifest Destiny and stuff like that. But, you know, it's the idea of, you know, spreading across and claiming your territory. Mm-hmm. And so when I try to think of a third one, I mean, there's so many other movies that I like that are in that genre, including things that I don't think people necessarily think as Westerns. Like, I love Easy Rider. And I think that is
interesting.
I consider that to be a anti-Western. And I wrote a whole paper on this, but basically, you know, most Westerns are about finding freedom, and Easy Rider kind of starts in the West and moves east, so it's kind of escaping and going back to society. You know, There Will Be Blood is a Western to a certain extent.
Oh. Give me the blood, Lord. Give me the blood.
And I think that's an amazing movie as well.
I drink your milkshake. Drink it up.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
I guess I wouldn't picture that as a Western either.
But it's all about this man trying to grab power and trying to expand who he is. And so, I mean, those elements are there. It's just not gunfighting.
Right.
So, I mean, I think you can have all these different types of movies become Westerns. Because, I mean, it depends upon how you're classifying it. I mean, even like The Searchers, which is a John Wayne classic, you know, is about him trying to find and hopefully protect the innocence of his niece.
What about Back to the Future 3?
Yeah, I mean, that's a Western as well.
Is it?
It takes place in the West.
But, or is it the future?
I mean, as far as the third, I mean, I can go in and out. There's so many.
Yeah, that makes
ones.
Sense. That's good. I wouldn't have thought of There Will Be Blood, which is a great movie, but yeah, that's good. Good list. Brad?
I actually had a tough time coming up with
Me
Westerns.
Too. It was
like,
tough.
There are a lot I enjoy, but as I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, why can't I think of any? Besides, my favorite Western is Tombstone. That's a Western I can watch anytime. That's very quotable and just great performances by Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer was unbelievable in that. Kurt Russell. I also like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a fantastic movie. The whole trilogy is good, but that one is by far the most superior of the three. And my third one, I would say, is Young Guns.
Ah, that's mine. That's my first one.
Another one of those. This is just a fun movie.
Make it famous.
That's
Weep the whirlwind, Brady. Reap it.
Another one of those that it's quotable.
That was an early Western for me. That's like one of the ones that got me into the cinema. I love those movies.
And let's not forget Young Guns 2, which was awesome.
It's still
scars. I got scars.
It was enjoyable.
And some great characters, like Lou Diamond Phillips was awesome. There was Dirty Steve.
Yeah.
When you got a character named Dirty Steve, what was Christian Slater's name? Arkansas Dave Rudaba. I love them. Love them all. Love them all. Can we put Young Guns 1 and 2 together?
You can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. So that was your three?
No, those are my three.
So originally, before you said Young Guns, I had taken Tombstone, Unforgiven, and Good, the Bad, the Ugly off because you guys had already said it. But I can't take Young Guns off because I could have easily replaced those other ones.
You didn't have to take those off. I mean, it's your list.
I know, but there's other ones that were equally there, so I was like, oh, I can take this off. But I can't take off Young Guns. Yep. Young Guns was... I still watch Young Guns and love it. I love it. Doc...
Kiefer Sutherland.
Anyways, I love Young Guns. That's my number one. Tombstone is probably, if I think of, like, it's not on my list to take it off, but it is one of the best, like, it's such a good movie. But I also feel like it's all, if I meet people and they're like, my favorite movies ever, Braveheart and Tombstone, I'm like, oh, you're like kind of a bro from Miami. Of course you like those movies, because everyone likes those movies. You can't say I hate Gladiator and Braveheart, like, everyone does. So anyways, it tells me that you don't really love movies.
Depending on when you grew up, I guess.
I suppose. So my number two is The Wild Bunch. And I saw The Wild Bunch way later. And it was made the late 60s. And I think I want to say 69. And I'm amazed that they could make a movie like that in the 60s. So violent. So great. Wild Bunch is one of the best Westerns I love. So Young Guns,
Sam
Wild Bunch. Sam
one of the greatest directors of all time as well.
Absolutely. This is by... I don't think as many people have seen this movie, and it's a shame, but Quigley Down Under.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Quigley Down Under is freaking awesome. Although it's not on the American Western front. It's an American who goes to Australia and shows those Aussies what's up.
There's a shrimp on the bobby.
Yeah. And he's like, you've been on this damn line for 3 days. I love Quigley Down Under. I like Tom Selleck. He probably is the best cowboy ever. So, yeah, Young Guns, Wild Bunch, Quigley Down Under, Silverado. Love Silverado. It's got such a great cast with a young Kevin Costner and Jeff Goldblum and Danny Glover. Love it, love it. And then the last I threw in here, this is what I replaced when one of the ones I threw out, was The Quick and the Dead. Not the newest one with Sharon Stone and Leonardo DiCaprio, and I think Gene Hackman again.
Yep.
And Russell Crowe, for that matter. He's the preacher.
He is, yeah.
Directed Maybe by I Sam do Ryan. Like that one better, because I love Russell Crowe as the priest who doesn't want to fight, but he fights anyways. Boom. Never mind. I like that one better than the Tom Selleck.
Sam Neill.
Sam Elliott.
Or Sam Elliott. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. I like it better than that one, which that's good too. And the Sacketts with both of them is actually good. Is a mini TV series. Mm-hmm. My dad made me read a lot, or got me to read a lot of the Sackett novels, the Louis L'Amour's. So I love those guys. But anyways, Quick and the Dead was fantastic.
I'm going to throw a couple other out there. So Deadwood.
The TV show. I've seen the first four episodes.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, it's basically just dialogue fodder.
Like, but a show that was canceled before it was finished, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I mean,
I only saw the first two seasons, but it was great.
But Ian McShane just doing those monologues is just, oh, so good. And
The Gambler with Kenny Rogers.
I went through a Maverick out there.
Oh, Maverick! Oh, Maverick's so much so fun. Good.
Dead Man with Johnny Depp.
That's right. That's good. And let alone the Clint Eastwood classics, the Pale Riders, and the
Outlaw Jesse Wales. I would even throw 310 to Yuma is a good
310
movie.
310 to Yuma.
The remake was good as well.
Seraphim Falls.
What was your Natalie Portman?
Jane Got a Gun. I think it's Jane, not Jane's. Or is it Jane? Yeah, it's not Janie like the Aerosmith song. I think it's Jane Got a Gun. But Chris Pratt's in that.
There's a Mads Mikkelsen Western that came out not too long ago. The Salvation I still haven't seen, but I want to see because Mads Mikkelsen is one of my favorite actors right now.
Yeah, there's a really old one called The Magnificent Seven. I think they ran a remake of that. Let's go see it. Oh, we saw it. Let's talk about it.
We did. We recently just saw Magnificent Seven, which was directed by Antoine Fuqua and starring Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio is in it.
Vincent D'Onofrio, who, I mean, I've always sort of liked, but out of the woodwork, he's been pulling out these characters.
And this movie was a remake of the 60s Western starring Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen, which itself was based off Seven Samurai, directed by the great Akira Kurosawa.
Let's not forget the 90s mini TV series,
yeah.
The Magnificent Seven, with the dude from The Rock and Terminator.
They've been pumping out the same story for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, movies like Pixar's A Bug's Life has that same kind of story of a broken down town or area, and they need, like, these people to come save them.
For that matter, The Three Amigos is the same exact story.
Except there's only three of hero and not seven.
Not seven. So
God, I should have put that on my list. I love The Three Amigos.
It's good. Before we go any further, the first thing I took away was Suicide Squad, which is basically the same premise of these ragtag bunch of people coming, like, if they could have just copied the simple premise of Magnificent Seven, it would have been a great movie. Within 20 minutes, Magnificent Seven had me believing that these guys like each other to some extent, had me buying their relationship to where when things happen later, I feel emotion because people may be in trouble and you may be scared for the person or something like that. I was into their plight and I was excited when they, you know, were victorious and
they banded together
and I bought it. Like, and it didn't take 3 introductions to each character and it didn't take these weird love stories. It was just they told it, they got you into it really quick and you bought it.
Yep.
From good acting, which Suicide Squad had, just horrible, horrible writing. The whole time I was like, this is Suicide Squad. They should have just copied this premise. It would have been great.
I mean, another benefit of The Magnificent Seven is it had a good villain. You know, someone that you could actually hate and understand.
Which, good villain who, realistically, in the movie, it's not much he can do. He's got some power, but in the end, he's just a guy.
Yeah. I mean, the threat there is that he has enough people that he could just basically burn down the town
and
kill everyone. And
great villain.
Yeah.
Oh, the acting in this movie was so great.
And it was a great mix of action, comedy, even coming from, you know, characters you wouldn't think. Obviously, Chris Pratt has the comedic...
He pulls a comedic weight in the film.
To him.
He's,
A character like...
Star-Lord.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, he got the most laughs in the theater we were sitting in. Vincent D'Onofrio got a lot of laughs.
Well, he plays a very interesting character. Like, I mean, he's going...
You don't get, yeah.
He's going full throttle. Like
quasi-religious crazy Daniel Zeller. Boone, Grizzly Adams kind of dude, yeah.
And, I mean, you got Denzel Washington just being Denzel Washington. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool. He's a little Denzel. Bit funny. Yeah, he's charming. And Ethan Hawke is great in his partner in crime.
Right. So another thing this movie was clearly trying to, and I actually interested in you guys' opinion, to or to not do, it was saying or not saying something about race. So in it you have an Asian guy, you have an African-American guy, you have a Native American, you have a Hispanic American, that, and then the white guy. So you have these different ethnicities, and what I appreciated at first was they weren't making a big deal about any of them being off color, in the old West you could be like, oh well, people were racist back then, so now, like Deadwood, we can make a show where it's okay to be racist because we're just saying that's how it was back then. But I actually liked, like, oh hey, you know what, we got all these different ethnicities in here and it doesn't care until, first let's just ask a question. Do you guys think it was doing that on purpose or not on purpose, having the different ethnicities and a genre of television that's usually primarily Caucasian.
It was on purpose. Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, that the director is very much a political director, and I think that was a part of it, was to pull that out. I mean, even early on when Denzel Washington comes into the bar,
which is the only time you sort of get the oddness there.
Yeah,
where people are like, well,
and I mean, you even had other things. You know, you know, we obviously have a couple of white characters in there, but you had even them from different backgrounds. Ethan Hawke is a Southern Confederate soldier.
Right, right.
And so that's brought up. And
that's
so that conflict.
Yeah. So Denzel Washington's badass. The Native American is brave and true. The Asian gentleman is like badass, like good with the knives and quick. However, I felt like it was interesting that they allowed Chris Pratt's character to make fun of the Hispanic guy. So of everyone else, we're not making fun of any of them. But it I felt like, was it okay to make fun of?
But they kind of had this banter going.
They had
back
a banter,
and
they redeemed it with a relationship between the two of them. But I was like, oh, you're not making these sort of slurs about any of the other races, but you are. So I was like, and I actually asked some of my friends later, like, is it okay to?
I think it wasn't that fact. I think it was their two characters were very similar to each other. That's kind of why they had that, you know, back and forth type thing. Like, almost like Lord of the Rings, where Gimli and
that's good.
Legolas
that's good. Yeah.
are kind of back and forth. And then,
from two cultures who generally hate each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was intentional. I don't know if it was necessarily implemented in the best way, but, I mean, it's definitely a nicer contrast than, you know, to a movie I like a lot, like The Hateful Eight, where it's just constant...
Right, and I appreciated that, hey, we can have a Western with different colored skin people and we don't have to make a big deal about it anymore.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, even the Native Americans, they, you know, they kind of hit on it a little bit, but they didn't sit on it too long.
Right.
Yeah, it was just part of it and moved on.
Another thing that I feel like I've appreciated over time is, like, I get tired of long, drug-out fight scenes, and I felt like every scene in this resolved itself quickly enough to get to the next scene where nothing was long or drug out. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when the two Native Americans went against each other, I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be like this long tomahawk scene. But it wasn't. It was like, okay, it's resolved itself in a realistic
way. I thought the action was good, but probably my one complaint would be some of it, you couldn't tell who was who. Who was the bad guys, who wasn't, when you're really getting into it. And it was a little confusing, but...
But for a half-hour action scene, I mean, they did a pretty good job of isolating instances and making it continuously plot moving forward.
Did anyone happen to look up the agility of a Gatling gun? Because it seemed like it could shoot wherever it wanted to as a stationary gun. Like, I know it goes left and right, but, like, that one seemed like it could go wherever you wanted to shoot. Or do the bullets go so willy-nilly that it's going to hit the floor, the ceiling, the, you know.
I mean, I don't know specifics, but I know that that was a big game changer at that time period. Like, I mean, there was, so you have like,
I mean, it did not do bait well for the samurai. No. Last samurai.
But Custer's Last Stand, I know that historically there was supposed to be a Gatling gun there, and if that had been there, that would have changed the entire course of that, and
Custer would have had another Last Stand.
Yes. So
it wouldn't have been called Custer's Last Stand. We call it Custer's Stand.
Gatling Stand.
And maybe we'll have some more later.
So, I mean, it definitely has an ability to change the course of a battle. But I'm no historian.
I love how every new Western that I seem to love, they have another cool way to hold your gun. Like, Denzel Washington had a cool little... my gun's gonna be up front, like facing this way, set up. Whereas, like, Doc Holliday and Tombstone, he had his like up high on his chest. I think it's super fat. I like actually really like the play with where we keep guns to be a better gunslinger. Like, what you think is going to be the best? I love that. I think
whatever works for that.
Yeah, I think it's almost like lightsaber stances in Star Wars. Like, I choose this stance because it's more defensive, and I have like this shape of a saber because it's faster or more elegant. Whereas I like, I keep my gun up here, or my gun down here, or... I don't know, I love that stuff. I think it's so much fun in Westerns.
An elegant weapon for a more civilized time.
Yes, exactly. But I also think that Western, they're so much prettier than everyone probably was back then. I feel like everyone back then was probably like, unforgiving, like, pretty haggard and beat up.
I mean, I think...
Denzel is such a freaking good-looking dude.
Deadwood probably did the best of, like, representing what people look
like. Oh, and, like, you know, when you set up shop, you're just setting up in, like, crap and mud and grossness.
I mean, all the prostitutes in The Magnificent Seven didn't look that bad.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they were not that pretty-looking.
Also, yeah, not just race, but the female... had a significant role in this movie too.
Yes, she did.
So I really do like how
she had
they
to,
and without it feeling
but
trite,
it didn't pass the Bechdel test.
Did not pass the Bechdel test. However, Vampire Academy did. it does not pass the Bechdel test. That's right.
So to sidetrack just a little bit, have either of you watched the premiere of Westworld on HBO?
I have not yet.
I've seen the preview for it. That's about it.
I watched it the other night. It's really good.
I want to see it. Is it a Western? It goes back to an old West town, right?
Yeah, I mean, the premise is...
Anthony Hopkins' brain, is that what it is?
Anthony Hopkins is in it.
Original movie, just like the original Magnificent Seven, starred Yul Brynner.
Yep. But the basic premise is there is this place that people vacation to that is an artificial town populated by robots. And you can go in. It's an all-West town. You can do whatever you want there. You can shoot the robots. You can fight with them. You can go sleep with people. It's all realistic. You can't get hurt in it. And then the basic premise of the original movie was the robots revolt or
kind of snap in a way,
haywire, and
robots
start killing
do that. We've learned from the Matrix.
Yes, so
we've learned from a lot of movies.
So the first episode does a really good job. Ed Harris is in it, and he's great. And I'm excited for the rest of the season.
So would this be one of your at-home recommendations?
If you have HBO Now, I would definitely recommend it. But my at-home recommendation was going to be Once Upon a Time in the West, another Sergio Leone film.
Popped up on Netflix this week.
Yep, just popped up. So it's a long movie, but it's well worth your time, and it has some great cinematic shots. I think originally shot in 70mm, but if you don't want to watch the entire thing, at least watch the opening 15 minutes. It has one of the best just still shots of just action happening kind of in the background, and it's just a beautiful looking picture.
I honestly have never seen it, so I might have to check it out.
I am currently in the middle of Luke Cage, which I've enjoyed all of these, the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, the Marvel, the Netflix stuff has been
Marvel
fantastic.
Television universe.
I think the guy who plays Luke Cage may be the best looking person I've ever seen in my life.
he's definitely cut from Ebony Stone.
Man. So I like it. I got a little stressed this week because so much, I've been enjoying things pop up, like Walking Dead popped up, I watched it. This popped up, but now it's like all these other shows have popped up. But
all the shows are starting for the fall.
Now you can just space your time.
It's true. I don't feel stressed until I get it all done. So definitely Luke Cage. And you know what? I gave it a first try and didn't like it, but I'm doing a second try now. I like it. The Netflix series Love.
I don't really love.
Gillian Anderson.
Yep. And Paul Rust.
And Paul Rust. I only have listened to it or watched it again because I listened to a Comedy Bang Bang with both of them in it. I was like, I should give that show another try.
I really liked that show. I thought it was a really good look at relationships, and both actors are amazing, and it was really fun.
Thanks, Netflix, for being the best streaming place in the world.
Please give us free subscriptions.
So my recommendation would go from what we discussed earlier that kind of came up. I'm going to suggest Ice Pirates. I love bad movies.
Can you watch this at home?
I looked it up. You can rent it on iTunes. It is not available on any of the streaming services. I love a bad movie, especially one that I deem like so bad it's good. And this is a movie that has a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that sets the tone for you right there. Came out in 1984. Basic premise, it's a sci-fi movie that
you just gotta watch to believe.
It's kind of hard to explain because a lot happens in this movie that it's just insane and crazy and just,
you know, bad, good special effects.
Space herpes, apparently.
There's space herpes. There are crazy robots that fight each other and
crazy, good, weird practical effects. It's a fun movie. Yeah.
Hands me to bad movies because you recommended it last time we podcasted. I saw Knights of Badassdom. Super bad movie. And not bad in the cool, that's bad man way.
Sorry, Joe Lynch.
It was super bad, but I liked it. Only because I love the actors in it and the premise.
It wasn't LARPers all around getting, great, but yeah.
LARPers getting brutally massacred is actually kind of fun.
So have you ever seen, was it Darkon? The documentary about LARPers?
No.
That's a really good watch. It's super depressing because it is basically about this guy who is in the LARPing world and basically has abandoned his family for LARPing.
Aww.
And there's a whole story about how his father had this role-playing empire that got sold off, and like he felt like he lost his, you know, livelihood. It's a really good documentary. I love good documentaries, so.
Yeah, you know what? And LARPing does seem kind of cool.
There's a big community for LARPing.
I mean, I'm not per se into that, but, you know.
I'm telling your wife.
I'm getting ready to dress up in a kilt and go to the Highland Games. That's sort of LARPing.
That is kind of like LARPing.
Kind of.
Except you're not committing your entire
cosplay
life.
Cosplay and LARPing sometimes, you know, they're very parallel with each other. The LARPers take it a little further with the combat than just typical cosplay. But
Lightning spell.
It's a thing.
So next time, we're going to talk about Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
I read the book, and I'm super excited to see this movie.
That's my anticipation.
The book was awesome, I will say that. So hopefully the movie will be awesome, too.
I have not read the book, but more often than not, I enjoy Tim Burton's movies. So
see, I'm going to go on the opposite. I'm going to go on the opposite spectrum. Tim Burton's burned me too many times, and at this point, I'm just like, I'm not too excited for any movie you make right now.
His more recent ones haven't been as fantastic as his early stuff, that's for sure.
He's been way too... he's always been a visual director, but he's just gone full-blown with, let's just worry about visuals. Let's put everything in computers. I mean, he's taken
Big Fish?
I thought Big Fish was a decent film,
Big Fish
but
was good.
I mean, like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Alice in Wonderland.
Barf.
I mean, they're just... I mean, he's going the George Lucas route of let's just throw everything into a computer and...
I mean, it's all gone downhill since Pee-wee's Big Adventure, so...
No, they're all...
It's went downhill right from the beginning, is what you're saying.
There will always be a special piece of my heart for Edward Scissorhands, and especially Ed Wood. I love it.
I think it's a great movie.
I mean, I think Tim Burton, I know we're getting down a little rabbit hole, he can be great when he has a good story. But if he's just left to his own devices, you know, you get Planet of the Apes.
He has a great story with this movie that we're going to see because the book was really good.
And we can save all the rest of our Tim Burton talk till next time.
Oh, that's right.
Put a pin in that.
Strike that. Reverse.
Put a pin in that, and we'll come back next week and talk about Tim Burton.
And thanks for listening to The Cinema Guys. We hope everyone enjoyed the show. Remember to follow us on Twitter at The Cinema Guys and like The Cinema Guys on Facebook.
Like
and email, us. Email any questions, comments you might have to
rate us,
The
right?
Cinema Guys at 134inc, that's INK, .com.
And leave a review on
Leave us a review. Like, we're trying to get better. Again, thanks for listening. And for all the Cinema Guys, we bid you farewell.
Boom shakalaka.
Bye-bye.